No, what I mean, what I like about these venues is just the quality of the pianos, right? Like, they have a really nice sounding grand piano with good projection. You know, you can fit a lot of audience members in there. You got good sound. I mean, yeah, there's two categories of venues, right? There's like the concert venues, and then there's clubs and bars, which is fun too because you have the audience just way closer up.
Oh yeah,
to you
for sure.
It's a more intimate experience.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Musical Connections, a podcast about music from Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm Zach Snow, your host. Join me now as we explore this wonderful music scene of Newfoundland and Labrador as we develop it one song at a time. And this week's episode is in Desert Bloom. Desert Bloom is the name of the album from the Florian Hofner Trio, which walked away with the Juno Award in 2022. And Florian Hofner is my guest this week on Next to Connect. We talk with the German-born but St. John's-based classical composer and pianist all about Desert Bloom, plus his ECMA nomination for Flying Puka, which is his group with Danny Ore. And we also talk about a brand new record that he worked on with the Irish Trio, which he composed a majority of the music. We're also going to talk about his upbringing through the jazz scene in Germany, what convinced him to move to Newfoundland and Labrador, and a whole lot more. We're going to get to all that right after we get through this week's newfound releases, and we are going to start out with Albert Dalton and Cat Cafe. His brand new album drops this Friday, and we will have a track from that on next week's newfound releases. In the meantime, here's Albert Dalton with Cat Cafe and Hazmat, right here on Newfound Releases.
Something to care about when I rap fast. Yo. Something to care about when that blunt's pass. Something to wear that as a badge. I stutter when I don't rap, but I make a bumble when I double tap. Only wrote about a couple hundred raps. Zoomed in like a Hubble snap. Watch me take off in my shuttlecraft. I still take over like a Rummelcraft. In your Cadbury, in your Burberry. Know that I ain't never been worried. Flow always been a little hurried. Never wanna do this shit again. Run against 100-hour wins, and it's all just with some small gains. Scout the game for a new rage. Lost souls on the soul stage. If I take a breath, lay my head to rest. May awake where it's all strange. Calculating y'all old claims. Don't add up, man, you all sus. And it's kinda fucked the game. Got no trust, you the queen of us. With the high heels up, yeah. These are facts, facts. Used to all these other forms of fucking rap. Watch me light this fucking blunt, I ain't gon' pass. Yeah, I ain't catching shit, I'm hotboxing the ass. Nah, yeah. Got you guessing messages to words I craft in half and make them whole again. I'm holy sand, seen rolling through all these holy residents, they temporary. My vision slightly airy to those not fucking with me. You better carry your rosary. AD plus AD, we coming straight out the holy sea. They and hopes to get a hold of me. You fold, I double down. I hold you told, and then they came around. I watered down, robbing sounds from the underground, and they all clowns now. These are facts, facts. Used to all these other forms of fucking rap. Cat, watch me light this fucking blunt. I ain't gon' pass. Yeah, I ain't catching shit. I'm hotboxing the ass. Nah, yeah.
That was Albert Dalton and Cat Cafe with Hazmat on Newfound Releases. Our next Newfound release comes from Ben Ekman's Spiral. His brand new record, Singularity, dropped last Friday. And right now, here's one of the tracks from that record, which the album is inspired by a robot discovering his identity. Here's Deus Machina, right here on Newfound Releases. Bent Ekman Spiral for you with Deus Machina. We continue Newfound Releases with Paste, and his next song comes from an album called Prequels. Here is Rave Punks the Third, right here on Newfound Releases.
I spent a night in heaven on lucky number 7. Chat about
That was Control plus V or Paste with Rave Punks 3 here on Newfound Releases. And we go now to a new song from Ian Crew. This new song is actually a previous song done by the Rub-A-Dub Dubs. Willie Arsenault wrote this back in the 1970s. Here's Ian Crew's version right now of Holyrood, right here on Newfound Releases.
If you come a ramblin' round Newfoundland shore, I oughta come knocking on Holyrood's door. You'll meet some fine people, they'll bid you good day, take you into the parlor for a fine cup of tea. Down in Holyrood, where the squid chicken's good and the oil refinery's a hummin' away. The flame from the eagle, the cross up the hill, is the prettiest picture in Conception Bay. Ah, dear Sir Art Hines, sir, how do you do? How's days for Brother Jim and old Tommy too? Well, he says that they're fine and they're all in good cheer. Come into the kitchen for a bottle of beer. While into the kitchen our voices did sing, the songs of the island our voices did bring. The squid jiggin' ground, sir, was fiddlin' in time when Dickie jumped up, sang a salmon ear rhyme. Down in Holyrood, where the squid jiggin's good and the oil refinery's a hummin' away. The flame from the eagle, the cross up the hill, is the prettiest picture in Conception Bay. St. Cecil's the man with the grocery store, got the North's finest people, both rich and both poor. Your prices are fair, sir, so what am I bid? He said 1 pound of capelin for 2 pounds of squid. So at night I can dance at the old velvet horn, where Wilf Doyle was playing before I was born. Then down to Wilfury's before it burned down, to round out me night down in Holyrood town. Down in Holyrood, where the squid chicken's good and the oil refinery's hummin' away. The flame from the eagle, the cross up the hill, is the prettiest picture in Conception Bay. So if you go ramblin' round Newfoundland shore, I oughta come knocking on Holyrood's door. You'll meet some fine people, they'll bid you good day, take you into the parlor for a fine cup of tea. Down in Holyrood, where the squid chicken's good and the oil refinery's a hummin' away. The flame from the eagle, the cross up the hill, is the prettiest picture in Conception Bay. Down in Holyrood, where the squid chicken's good and the oil refinery's a hummin' away. The flame from the eagle, the cross up the hill, is the prettiest picture in Conception Bay. It's the prettiest picture in Conception Bay.
That was Ian Crew with Holyrood here on Newfound Releases. We now go to a new tune from Kim Hamlin. I Wrote Me a Song, and here's that for you now on Newfound Releases.
I wrote me a song and I wrote it all wrong. Oh, I wrote me a song. I wrote me another, it was worse than the other. Oh, I wrote me a song. Sang my first song, thought it boring and long. Oh, I sang my first song. Got up on the stage, lost my courage and caved. Oh, I messed up my song. La 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 la. I wrote me a song. Yeah. them around. All the lyrics were down. Dave had a listen, filled in all was missing. Oh, I wrote me a song. The next six were easy, for they came from the heart. Oh, I wrote me a song. La 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 la. Stage. There's one left to do, then an album or two. Oh, an album for you. I'm gonna keep on writing till the day that I die. Oh, gonna write me some songs. Before I'm all done, I hope you like one. Oh, gonna write me some songs.
Kim Hamlin for you with I Wrote Me a Song, and we continue Newfound releases with Len O'Neill. His debut record, Out of You, dropped last Friday, and here's the focus track from that new record. Here's Highlight Reel on Newfound Releases.
You told me about the man that you dreamed of holding. He's older, this history, a dark and youthful mystery. Long, long, long lost, lust lurking in your guts. I get it, it happens. The heart is a restless captain. It takes me to a season where she left for the same damn reason. Long, long, long lost love sinking in my guts. I see you in a highlight reel on a homemade videotape. So remember how it feels and loved you run away. And I fight it, but why deny the night's excitement? If you want to live that way, we can, but it'll never be the same again. I see you in a highlight reel on a homemade videotape. So remember how it feels and love to run away. Oh,
That was Len O'Neill with Highlight Reel. And we go now to Richard Parsons. You may be familiar with his voice if you ever heard anything from The Reels. I don't think we've heard anything from The Reels in a long time. Hopefully that changes soon. But Richard Parsons is going in a different direction, releasing music on his own. And a bit of a country vibe to this one. Here is Waltz About Whiskey, right here on Newfound Releases.
Once the getting's good, yeah, the getting's got gone. I'm going downtown just to tie one on. Okay's and sour, going down by the hour. I'm as blue as the night is long. So won't someone dance with me? So once a whiskey, it turns sad songs to lullaby. I don't need much nothing except for all your loving. Waltz my whiskey on ice. One quarter should do. Number 832. Little truth from the jukebox should make it all right. Yeah, the blues sets in. I'm getting high again. To waltz that whiskey on ice. So won't someone dance with me? To waltz that whiskey and turn to sad song. Lullaby. I don't need much nothing except for all your loving. Waltz my whiskey on ice.
That was Richard Parsons with Waltz About Whiskey here on Newfound Releases. Rum Ragged are next. Their first album in 5 years, Gone Jiggin', came out last Friday. And Mark Manning and Aaron Collis join me on next week's Next to Connect to talk about all about their brand new album, their brand new song 1949, which we featured on Newfound Releases a couple of weeks ago, and a whole lot more. But in the meantime, from their brand new album, Gone Jiggin', here's the last track you'll hear on that album. Here's the Apple Tree on Newfound Releases.
I don't care if the world is round. I don't care if the sun goes down. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me. Don't grow. I don't care if it rains or snows. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me. And I don't care if I drink wine. I'm drinking beer all the time. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me. I don't care if the sun goes down. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me. I don't care what happens to me. I'll just sit in the apple tree that my grandmother gave to me.
Rum Ragged for you with the Apple Tree here on Newfound Releases. They are signed with Nigel Jenkins' Laughing Heart Music Records, based out of Steady Brook. We head out to the West Coast for our last Newfound release, and it comes from Yvette Lorraine. Here's Dreaming for you to wrap up Newfound Releases.
I heard you in the wind last night. Felt you wrap around me. Won't you stay for a little? When I felt your voice, I cried. Broke me up inside. Pushed me out of the middle. No, I'm not afraid of the truth. I just wanna talk to you. Ooh, it's my favorite thing to do. Dreaming with you. Nothing else I wanna do. Dreaming with you. Painting my sky so blue. Dreaming with you. Wonder if I had it right. Cause I don't feel the same. And I don't know what's different. About it all the time. Looking from the other side. There's no going back from here. No, I'm not afraid of the truth. I just wanna talk to you. Ooh, it's my favorite thing to do. Dreaming with you. dreaming with you, painted my sky so blue. Dreaming with you, painted my sky so blue. Dreaming with you, painted my sky so blue. Dreaming with you, painted my sky so blue.
And that wraps up Newfound Releases for another week. Now, of course, there are some stuff that I've missed, and I've acknowledged that on a previous post on my creator page, Zach Snow, on Facebook. If you want to be on Newfound Releases, let me know through DMing me on socials or emailing me, musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. You can also check out my Newfound Releases guide on my Linktree. The Linktree will be Zach Snow NL. You'll have everything you need to know about Newfound Releases and who qualifies. I'll be looking for songs now that are coming out between April 14th to the 20th. It is now time for Next to Connect, our segment where we feature musicians or industry professionals talking about their careers and brand new projects. And this week's guest is a Flying Puka. Well, Flying Puka is the name of his group. He is up for an ECMA award this year and is a Juno Award winner for his album Desert Bloom with his trio. We're going to be talking with German-born and Canadian-based pianist and composer Florian Hoffner. We're going to talk to him all about his Juno Award win for Desert Bloom, plus Flying Puka and the Irish Trio's brand new record that they just put out, which Florian composed a lot of the music for. We're also going to talk about his upbringings in Germany, what drew him to the jazz music, what made him move to Newfoundland and Labrador, and a whole lot more. So sit back and enjoy this Next to Connect this week, as we connect with composer and pianist Florian Hoffner. Welcome back to Musical Connections, everyone. This is Next to Connect. I'm Zach Snow, and I am so excited to have as my guest today on Next to Connect, Juno Award-winning pianist and jazz artist, the one and the only Florian Hoffner. Florian, welcome to Musical Connections, buddy.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you so much for coming on. And I should also mention you're also an ECMA nominee as well with Flying Puka. That's your group with Danny Ora.
That's right, yeah.
And I believe you're also up for the Desert Bloom album, which also got a Juno. Am I correct or no?
Desert Bloom is not up for an ECMA. It was last year.
It's just Flying Puka this year.
Flying Puka this year, yeah.
But otherwise, congratulations on all your success. I mean, you're killing it. And you've been here in the province now for about 10 or so years. And
it's coming up to 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, we're so happy to call you one of our own.
Yeah, it's been really great. You know, I didn't know what to expect when I moved here in 2014. But yeah, it's a fantastic place and lots of things are happening.
Absolutely. Now, for those who may not know much about you, but I mean, who would not know about you? You're one of the best jazz pianists we've ever saw. So tell me a little bit about yourself and a bit more about Florian Hoffner.
Yeah, sure. I'm originally from Germany. I grew up in northern Bavaria, which is the south of Germany, but the northern part of the equivalent of a province. I started playing piano, accordion in elementary school, added trumpet later, and then at the end of high school, there was no other choice for me than to go into a music degree. So I went to Berlin, University of the Arts, and I did an undergraduate degree in jazz piano. And then I wanted to go to New York, you know, where this music has made all major developments since the 1940s, really. So I really wanted to be at the source. So I got a Fulbright scholarship and was able to go to the Manhattan School of Music. Did 2 years there to do my master's, and then I stayed in New York for another 4 years to just freelance as an artist. And then 2014, my wife, Christine Carter, who's also a musician, she won a job at Memorial University as a single reeds professor. So single reeds, that's clarinet and saxophone. And so that's what brought both of us here in 2014.
That's wonderful. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Because you moved here in 2014 and you also got a job here at Memorial University as an assistant professor in jazz studies.
That's right.
And so you are really like well-versed into the jazz genre. So what drew you to jazz in the first place?
Yeah, I was exposed to it at a fairly young age. I remember one of the first things my dad showed me on the piano was some simple blues and boogie riffs. You know, my dad was a hobby musician, but he had this boogie book, like Learn Without Notes. I remember it had the picture of the keys with the dots where you got to put your fingers and this sort of thing. So, you know, that was one of my earliest things I did. And then my piano teacher at the local music school, he was a hobby jazz pianist, so he gave me some recordings, you know, Oscar Peterson, Herbie Hancock, and I liked the sound, you know, and I liked what I heard, and I liked the rhythmic aspect of it, and I also was drawn to improvisation. I liked the freedom of that I didn't have to play what's on the page, that I could sort of create my own. That, you know, that spoke to me from a very young age. And then in high school, we had a big band. I played in the big band. And then I started going to jazz camps as a teenager. And that's where I got for the first time, information from professional jazz musicians. And that was pretty awesome. And I also got to meet peers from all over Germany who also were into it, you know, who were interested in jazz, which there weren't that many in the small town where I grew up. So that was sort of a new world that was opening up. And yeah, through that I got deeper and deeper into it. Once I could drive with 18, I could drive into Nuremberg, which was the next bigger town. And then I started taking regular lessons with a professional jazz pianist. And so I slowly, you know, got into it more and more and started building some
That's wonderful.
skills and experience. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, when it came to New York, I mean, you know the old saying about New York, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Am I right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, New York is It's incredible, like the density of musicians. It's just mind blowing, you know. And even at the school I went to, Manhattan School of Music, in my year, for some reason they had a surge of pianists, so there were 12 really excellent pianists in my year, and so the competition was huge. Wherever you go, you know, there's so many great musicians. So that's what really gets you working hard and thriving in New York is, you know, the scene and the competition, but also all the input and influence you get from your peers. Yeah,
for sure. And when it comes to influences, who are some of those influences that you really looked up to when you're really just, you know, diving deep into jazz music?
Yeah, I mean, there are many, and they have changed over the years. Like I have phases where I'm really into certain artists, and then that artist comes back a little bit later, you know. I mean, I'll name a few. I mean, early on, Oscar Peterson, Herbie Hancock, of course, John Coltrane. I remember once CD players became a thing in the 80s, early 90s, and we had our first CD player at home. My dad bought Blue Train by John Coltrane, and he didn't know much about jazz, but for some reason he had a lucky draw and he picked this absolute masterpiece. So I was really into that record, and I checked out Kenny Drew, the pianist, on it. And then later, through my jazz teacher, his name was Michael Flügel in Nuremberg, he introduced me to artists like Brad Meldau, Bill Evans, McCoy Tyner, which all have Keith Jarrett, with all were huge influences. And then, of course, there's more, you know, younger people as well, more contemporary players, Aaron Parks, Aaron Goldberg, Sullivan Fortner, who actually was in my class at Manhattan School of Music.
Oh, wow.
But he's become such a phenomenal voice in the jazz piano world, you know, so it doesn't stop. Like, I could go on. There's a lot. Maybe I should mention Kurt Rosenwinkel as well, the guitarist, who's been a huge influence, both playing-wise and composition-wise, and I had the great fortune to be able to study with him for a year in Berlin as well. So he's been a real, real big one for me. Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, one of your first big opportunities was with the all-German musical group Subtone. And so how did that all come together, that first group you had there with Subtone?
Yeah, you know, I went to Berlin, did my undergrad there at the University of the Arts, and you know, you meet students from all over Germany who went there. Berlin at that time was a pretty sought after music school, so you know, a lot of very talented kids went there, and from semester one we started playing outside of class. You could just sign out jam rooms, and so we did a lot of that. And then, you know, I made friends in my year and people who were like 1 or 2 years ahead, and you know, it sort of fell into place, and we founded this group, Subtone, which was a quintet, and we were all students at the University of the Arts. At
wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man. So what do you remember most about those Subtone days?
Well, just the luxury of being able to rehearse all the time, right? Like these days, my trio, the other guys are in Toronto, you almost don't get to rehearse anymore. But during my student days, it was such an important experience to be able to get together at least once a week, sometimes more, and workshop stuff, try out stuff. That's also when I started composing for jazz groups for the first time. And it was just so amazing having this opportunity to get stuff heard all the time, to try it out and learn and improve. And also the kinship between the musicians just was so amazing. There's still all great friends. Most of us lived in the same building at some point. And just the connections that were formed during those times, that they've lasted a long time.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, some of your compositions, though, have been featured all across the world. I mean, I would imagine they've been featured in New York, in London, in Australia, just by many orchestras around the globe. So what's the difference for you between, you know, composing your own music and then, you know, playing music? So what do you enjoy most about composing music?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy being able to create that way, you know. Playing someone else's music is one thing, which I enjoy too. I play lots of standards and compositions by other musicians, and you learn a lot this way. But being able to really find your voice as a composer and to perform music that's 100% coming from you.
Yeah, it's coming from your heart.
From your heart, yeah. I find that very special, and I take a lot of joy in composing, even though the process itself is not always easy, right? You get stuck, you doubt yourself, all of these things. But then to be able to hear that final product after all that work you put into it is a pretty exhilarating experience. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Now, of course, you've lived here in Newfoundland and Labrador for 10 years, as we mentioned a couple of times already. And you moved here in 2014 to get a job here at Memorial University as an assistant professor.
Well,
your wife did move.
My wife got the
job
first. I did a bit of per course teaching initially, and then I got my job 2019, so that came a bit later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So were there any other motivating factors that wanted you to come here to Newfoundland and Labrador in the first place, besides, you know, your wife getting that job here at MUN?
No, I really came along to support my wife. And, you know, as a musician, to be able to get a full-time university job, that's a pretty rare opportunity. And then to get one in Canada, you know, I remember my wife auditioned at a few places in the States, I don't know, in Kentucky and Montana. And
wow.
We were just so happy that she was able to win this job in Canada. You know, she's Canadian, I'm from Europe, so Canada is just much closer to the systems of government and society that I'm used from Europe than the United States. And yeah, we were just both so glad to be able to settle in Canada. But I really just came to support her career and to support her being able to take on this job. And then, you know, I just saw what I would find here and try to make the best out of it. And, you know, it's turned out pretty great, I have to say. It was like a jump in the dark or jump in deep water.
Like a shot in the dark?
Yeah, kind of like that, or like a step into unknown territory for me. I didn't really know what to expect. And it was quite the contrast coming from New York with this huge jazz scene coming to here, where I didn't really know much about the jazz scene. And mm-hmm. You know, the jazz scene is obviously way, way, way smaller than in New York. It was 100%. It was a bit scary at first, but you know, I've always been someone who's worked to create things and build own projects, and because of that, I think it worked for me moving here. And yeah, as I said, it's been a really great experience living here.
And listen, man, we're very happy to have you. We're very happy to call you one of our own. And you've been representing this province very, very well. I want to go back to the jazz scene for a second, because you said when you compare it to the New York scene versus here, St. John's is way smaller than, you know, the scene in New York. So
yeah,
tell me a little bit more about how you feel about the jazz scene here in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing I can say about it's growing, and it's been amazing to see where it is now compared to 10 years ago. You know, there's a lot of young musicians involved in jazz. There's way more jazz concerts happening at different venues. We got a fairly good base of rhythm section players here now, which is, you know, we need them in every band. We got great drummers, great bassists. There's a lot of enthusiasm for it. You got the new minor in jazz program at MUN as well, which helps to get more people into it. So yeah, I really think it's on the rise. More and more musicians try to come through here too to play, and you know, I've talked to musicians who live on the mainland, and they have an eye on what's going on here now. And you know, I've even talked to some people who play with the idea of maybe retiring here, who've been teaching music in other bigger centers. So you know, people are noticing what's happening, and it's definitely on the rise. That's a really, really great development.
Oh, absolutely. And with guys like yourself and Bill Brennan, Natasha Blackwood, like really being some of the faces of the jazz scene. Now, my knowledge on the jazz scene is not really as wide as, you know, compared to yourself, because you're playing in it.
Yeah.
But it's great to see that the jazz scene is really starting to explode. And
yes,
I think a healthy jazz scene will be a healthier music scene for Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just now, but going forward
yes,
as well.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, one really big thing for me was when Jim Vivian moved back here from Toronto, you know, to have such a veteran player of the Canadian scene back here. That's just incredible.
Jim Vivian, he's from here, hey?
Yes, yeah, he's a born Newfoundlander.
I did not know that.
Yes, yeah. His family's from here. He grew up in Grand Falls for the first 5 years because his dad was working a job out there, but then the rest in St. John's. And then he left after high school to study bass in New Brunswick first, and then he eventually made it into the Toronto jazz scene. Spent 40 years there, and now he's back here.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Now, in that time, too, you've also formed your own trio, the Florian Hoffner Trio.
Yes.
And you've released two albums. But I want to go back to, like, you know, how did you get that group started up in the first place? And further to that, what do you remember most about those early days with your own trio?
Yeah, I mean, when I moved to Canada, my main ensemble was the Florian Hoffner Group, which is a quartet, and none of the players were in Canada, so I wanted to have a Canadian group, and I had never worked with a piano trio, which is sort of, you know, for a pianist, that's an important format ensemble to cover, because you are the main melody player, right? In a quartet, you got the front line, you got the horn, so that it's an ensemble I always wanted to dive into. And so the time was right after moving to Canada. I thought, this is the time now to start a Canadian trio. And you know, I looked at the Toronto scene, because I had been coming to Toronto since 2008, both because my wife is from Toronto, and I also studied with musicians from Toronto at Manhattan School of Music, and we had projects that brought me to Toronto. So I looked in the scene there, and someone who I really had enjoyed working with was drummer Nick Fraser. So that was my first sort of idea, starting point to work in this trio with Nick. And then through Nick, I discovered Andrew Downing. Nick introduced me to him, and he's such a versatile bassist. And he had exactly what I needed for my first record, which focused on, you know, folk and country tunes, and I needed some. I had written for boat bass with some fiddle technique, and Andrew has one foot in the classical world, and he's an excellent classical bass as well. So he just was the perfect fit for this trio, and we've been working now since 2017, I think, or 2017 or 18, I don't even remember, but it's been many years, and the trio has just become tighter and tighter, and the music has become freer. It's been really nice to see that development.
That's awesome, man. Now, of course, you're like a well-versed traveler when it comes to, you know, your music career. You've played all over the world, including the Melbourne Jazz Festival. I think it was like 2018 or 19 is what
2018.
What we talked about off the air. So I want to put you on the spot here. What has been your favorite place to play and why?
Yeah, I mean, I could name many places. I guess it's always exciting when you go to an exotic country somewhere where you haven't been before. So with Subtone, we had the chance to perform in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. We played at the jazz festival called the Acacia Jazz Festival. That's a really memorable experience. We also played in South America, in Colombia, in Ecuador. I remember playing in Quito, in this big town square on a big open air stage for this outdoor festival. That was also a really memorable performance. You know, there's also venues across the world that I like coming back to, like the Bird's Eye in Basel, Unterfahrt in Munich. I also really enjoy playing at the Rex in Toronto. You know, there's just venues that you like coming back to. And Melbourne Jazz Festival is up there, of course, too. Like the whole tour, we did an Australia tour in 2018, and that was one of the most exciting tours, I think, for me. Just, you know, because the country is amazing, and we saw lots of places. The food down there is amazing. Like, just in terms of the travel experience around the tour, that was definitely a highlight.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned there's always venues that you like to go back to.
Yeah.
What are some venues here in Newfoundland and Labrador you like to come back to play?
I mean, I love playing at the Arts and Culture Center, right? We started this series, the Atlantic Jazz Nights, in 2022, and it's just been amazing being able to play there on a regular basis. The sound is fantastic. We love working with the crew there. Everyone is just really, really supportive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's definitely my favorite venue to play here. I also like playing at the Dave Cook Hall at Munn. We just got a new piano, really nice piano. It was donated to the school. Those are my two favorite locations to play here, I would say. In terms of bars, you know, it's nice sometimes to play in a smaller club setting. One of the problems as a pianist is that you need a good quality piano, right? And that's hard to come by as far as the bar scene goes. Yeah.
Like those old performances can only really take you so far in your career, and that's why like you always keep going back to the Arts and Culture Centers and like the LSPUs and stuff, and even like the Holy Hearts as well.
Yeah, I've never played at Holy Heart, actually, but...
You never?
No.
Wow.
No, what I like about these venues is just the quality of the pianos, right? Like, they have a really nice-sounding grand piano with good projection. You know, you can fit a lot of audience members in there. You got good sound. I mean, yeah, there's two categories of venues, right? There's, like, the concert venues, and then there's clubs and bars. Which is fun too, because you have the audience just way closer up.
Oh yeah,
to you
for sure.
It's a more intimate experience.
Yeah. Oh totally. Now I want to extend further into the Jazz Nights, because you recently formed that about 2 years ago, and I believe I was like yourself and Bill Brennan. I believe would have came together and really came up with that and formed it together.
No, that's not correct. It was me and Jim Vivian.
Jim Vivian. Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So after Jim moved here. You know, we sat together and started chatting, and we said, you know, it would be great to have some sort of series where we could bring musicians here to play with us. This was shortly after COVID, and, you know, it's hard to always travel for shows. I got family here, and we were also missing the big city experience where you get asked to play in a lot of shows as a sideman, being exposed to... lots of different books, like different people's music on a regular basis, which doesn't happen as much here. So that was sort of looking for our own improvement and development. And then of course, we also wanted to bring more exciting jazz to audiences in Newfoundland and Labrador. Also with the idea or the goal to help grow the jazz scene that way, right? And so we reached out to the Arts and Culture Center and proposed this idea, said, you know, we have this idea, we'd love to apply for a grant to bring international artists out here to perform on a regular basis. And they were immediately into it. They were super excited about the idea, and then it all came together. I still can't believe that we have this. It's so amazing to be able to do this, to bring all of these amazing artists here. And it's been amazing to see the uptake as well, how the series has grown from the first concert to where we are today. Yeah, it's been really, really nice.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that, like, when it came to, you know, moving here in Newfoundland and Labrador in 2014, you weren't sure about, like, how things were going to go here. Sometimes, like, if you want to be successful in this life, you got to take those risks. Change may be intimidating, but once you really get into the swing of things, you're pretty much unstoppable.
That's right, yeah. It was definitely a little bit of risk, and also it was not the beaten path. A lot of jazz musicians try to move into the big cities because that's where you have the big scenes and the clubs and the performance opportunities.
Yeah.
So I had to make it work, in a different situation, sort of against what common wisdom would be for musicians. You got to be in the big centers and big scenes, right? Like, this was something different, and I had to find new ways to make it work, and one way was to make things happening here.
Yeah, and you've really done that, and you really killed it, yourself and Jim Vivian. And Jim, if you're watching this, I want to get you on the podcast as well to talk about everything that you're doing for the jazz scene here. You're doing amazing, man. Now, you released two albums under the Florian Heffner Trio, and the Desert Bloom album, which was your most recent one, ended up winning you your first ever Juno Award. And you've also got other awards on top of that, like Music NL and ECMAs and stuff like that. So what was it like to first be nominated for a Juno and then end up winning it?
Yeah, it was incredible. I was nominated the year before with First Spring, and there was a pandemic Juno, so it was all just online, right? And I remember they had this sort of online networking thing where you could drop yourself at these virtual tables and talk to people, but it was all very awkward.
Oh, so, yes.
When Desert Bloom was nominated, I was just excited to be able to go in person for the first time, because it's a real meeting place. You know, you meet musicians from all over the country. A lot of jazz musicians go. Usually anyone who's nominated goes. So it was this big gathering of friends, many of whom I hadn't seen in many years. And then, of course, to win, that's sort of the icing on the cake. I mean, I did not think I would win that year. I just went for the experience, and then you sit at this table, your name gets called, you almost can't believe it, you know?
You just, like, catch your breath and just like, wait, me?
Yes,
I won?
Yeah, yes.
No, but, like, getting nominated for a Juno is still a very huge deal, too, and it's a really nice notch on your resume.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think the nomination alone speaks for a lot and gives you the opportunity to go and puts your name and album out there, and then, you know, winning is great, but I think just the nomination already gives
you a
big boost that way.
Oh, 100%, and it puts the attention out there to more, like, national promoters and stuff to get your name out there and get you booked across. But you've pretty much tunneled that already with groups like Subtone and your Florian Heffner group and stuff. And I spoke about this with Stephen and Andrew on a previous Next to Connect episode. You don't make music to win the awards. You make music because it's something that you love to do and you've always wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I never had any awards in mind when I made these albums, right? I just wanted to make music that I stand behind, that I feel passionate about, and put my best foot forward, right? I mean, as a professional artist, you're ambitious. You want to sound as good as you can, and you put everything into the recording dates and into production. Yeah, you just want to have a great product that you can be proud of, but you don't think about awards at that time.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Now, you've actually got some more award nominations, but it's for another group that you formed with Danny Ora called Flying Puka. So tell me a little bit about Flying Puka, because I had no idea that you were part of that group, because when I was at the ECMA Awards press conference watch party at the Gower Street United Church, I was just like, Flying Pooka, who are they? And then I saw you and I was like, oh wait, Flying Hoffman's part of that group.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Tell me a little bit more about Flying Pooka.
Yeah, Flying Pooka is a bit of a side project that came about because Danny Ur was in Newfoundland during the pandemic. He did a postdoc at Memorial University
for
the International Institute of Critical Studies in Improvisation. He worked there during the pandemic, and then he stuck around for a little bit. And he's just such a creative musician, an improviser. I heard about him when he was here. I had met him briefly at the University of Toronto a year prior. And so, yeah, we just said, let's get together, jam. And we played in my office at MUN. We played together a little bit. And we immediately noticed this connection that we had. Like, we were going for the same musical things, same aesthetics. And, it was pandemic, so neither of us could travel. So that strengthened our bond here and gave us performance opportunities we may have not had otherwise. Lots of like pre-recorded video, online performance sort of stuff, right? And in this way, we developed a rapport, and then we just got together 2022 for 4 hours at the recital hall at Monday.
Wow.
With a recording engineer, and we recorded for 4 hours and just, we just said, let's see what happens. And then we were pretty happy with the result, and so we decided to put it out. And that's how Flying Pooka was born.
That's awesome. Now, of course, this is not the only other project you have on the side. You're the composer of a brand new trio called the Irish Trio. And your wife, I believe, is involved with this project too. So both of you get to work on a musical project. She's playing in the group, and then you're composing the music. So
that's right, yeah.
How did this whole Irish Trio thing come together?
Well, the Irish Trio came together pretty much, more than 10 years ago, like in New York, probably 12, 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It formed within the Manhattan School of Music. So Christine, Anna Petrova, the pianist, she also happened to live just across the street from us, basically, in Uptown Manhattan. And then originally it was Molly Carr on viola, who also went to the Manhattan School of Music. So they started playing together, did a few projects. Then the ensemble was dormant for a few years after Christine moved here, but then they got it back up, recorded their first album, did Mozart, Schumann, Kortak, one contemporary composition. And after that, they wanted to do something new, something different. So the idea was born to commission composers to write music for them and to combine that with poetry. And I had written a little suite for clarinet and piano for me and Christine a year or two before that we played together, which Christine really liked. And so, the ensemble had the idea to ask me to write a piece for them, which was the Bird Island Suite. We already had Don McKay on board, who wrote poetry, and they were very happy with the result, and so they then commissioned me to complete the program for a full album. And that's what's coming out now. It's called Project Earth, The Blue Chapter.
Awesome. And it's out now. By the time this drops, it's already out now.
Yes. Yeah. It came out on April 5th on the Canadian Center Disc label. And yeah, I would say it's one of the projects that I'm most proud of that I ever did, I think. Because just in terms of the work you put in writing a full CD worth of classical chamber music, that's just a whole different magnitude than writing music for a jazz trio album, where there's just so much improvised parts involved. Yeah, you have to write the tune, sort of the skeleton, but for this chamber album, the time I spent composing and thinking about it, that dwarfs anything I've put into a jazz recording, I think.
That's awesome. That's a pretty big statement to go by. But
yes.
I mean, after all the stuff you've done in your career, this probably is a highlight because you got to work with your wife on this.
Yes, I mean, that's very special to be on a project together. with my wife, and it was also a very new thing for me to write for classical chamber ensemble. I don't have any background in classical composition. I've never taken a composition course in my life.
No way.
So I just approached it the way I approach jazz improvisation, jazz composition. In a way, it's like a, you know, big parts of it are improvisation that's happening at a way slower pace than if I'm doing it live, right?
Like I think that's where the differences and like similarities in jazz and classical really can come together, because you really improvise in both genres.
Yeah, I mean, improvisation is not really part of the performance practice of classical music anymore. But there is a big connection between composition and improvisation. Like there's a big overlap between those two. And I think I was able to use my improvisation skills to benefit the compositions that I wrote for this trio.
For sure. And yeah. I can't wait. By the time this does drop, would have already featured these guys on Newfound Releases. I can't wait to feature some more music from them and from you in the future. Now, the next thing you're going to be doing is going back on tour through your home base in Germany. So what else is next for Florian Hofner?
I have another big project coming up that I'm extremely excited about. I have a collaboration with Quintin Nakoff, the great Canadian saxophonist who lives in New York.
And oh, wow.
He has a history of putting out large projects with chamber ensembles. He's written for string quartet and violin concertos. So we've teamed up to put together a chamber orchestra combined with a jazz quartet, and we're writing the music for it half and half. So each of us does about half an hour of music. I'm currently deep into writing. That's what I spend my days on right now.
Lovely.
And we're going to record and premiere this project in Montreal in October.
That's awesome.
Yes, that's my next big project, and I'm really excited about it.
But is there anything with Florian Hofner Trio that's coming up in the near future that we should know about?
Well, I mean, the Florian Hofner Trio keeps performing in the background. Like, that's my main working ensemble. These days, we just did two nights at the Rex in Toronto, and then we're coming back together in December for a European tour. There's no Canadian dates, unfortunately, this year. I had to keep my calendar a little bit emptier to really be able to finish this composition. It's a big project, writing for orchestra. So, you know, I kept my schedule a little bit lighter this summer for that reason.
Well, I can't wait to hear that big orchestra you're going to be working on in October. Now, we're going to get to one of the songs from the Juno Award-winning album Desert Bloom right after this conversation. But for people who want to find out more about you and what you got on the go next and tour dates and stuff, where can they go?
Well, my website is a great starting place. It's my name, just with a dash, .com, Florian-Hefner.com. Even if it's hard to spell for English speakers, even if you misspell it, I think Google will still find my website. That's a good starting place. And then, of course, social media, that's also where I post a lot of information about what I'm up to.
Well, we're super happy to have you here in Newfoundland and Labrador. You're one of the best classical jazz pianists that we have here, and we're very lucky to call you our own. And we're so happy you call Newfoundland and Labrador your home, and I've been wanting to get you on for a very long time. We just wanted to find the right opportunity to do it, and there's no better time than right now. So, Florian Hofner, thank you so much for joining me on Next to Connect today. You have a wonderful day, and best of luck with everything you got going on in the year ahead, and have fun with your tour in Germany.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Zach. Appreciate it.
That was Juno Award-winning jazz pianist and composer Florian Hofner. Head over to Florian-Hofner.com. That is Florian-Hofner.com to find out everything you need to know about the German-Canadian musician. And right now, from his Juno Award-winning album, here's the title track to it. This is Desert Bloom on the Musical Connections podcast. Wow, what an episode we've had this week. Big thank you to Florian Hoffner for joining me as my guest on Next to Connect this week, and to all the musicians who've contributed their tunes for newfound releases. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the Musical Connections podcast, email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com or DM me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or X. So Facebook is Zach Snow, and Twitter and Instagram are Zach Snow NL. And coming up next week, I said this in my newfound releases segment, that our guests are going to be Mark Vaining and Aaron Collis of Rum Ragged. Trying to get this organized was a bit of a hassle, but it was a really fun interview. Always great to catch up with the guys. We're going to talk to them all about their brand new album, Gone Jigging. It is their first full album in 5 years. We're also going to talk to them how they got started, their respective musical journeys, some of their great projects like The Lamb's Anthem, and their albums such as The Hard Times, The Thing About Fish, At Christmas, and a brand new project they worked on with the 75 for 75 crowd from Opera on the Avalon, a song called 1949, which was written by Amelia Curran. I personally think it's one of their best songs they've ever put out. So we're going to talk to them about all of that. It's a really fun interview and always great to catch up with Mark and Aaron. New episodes of Musical Connections drop every Tuesday at 12 noon, Newfoundland Standard Time, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe to the podcast. Just type it in your search engine wherever you stream your podcast to, and leave a comment while you're there as well, as it helps out the show a lot. Now, I haven't really been on top of the YouTube game lately. I'll admit that. It's been hard to catch up on all that stuff. But any previous Next to Connect interviews will also be on my YouTube page. Those are the video versions of my interviews with my various guests each and every single week. And make sure to follow the YouTube page as well. That is simply Zach Snow. That wraps up episode 71 of Musical Connections. Thank you so much for connecting again. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Stay safe and please be kind to one another. And until next time, safe home.